David Epstein keeps two hives of bees in his backyard in urban Washington, D.C.
You know, I do it as a hobbyist. I keep them because of the pollination they provide. I'm an avid gardener. My fruit trees, my garden gets pollinated, and I end up with lots of honey.
He's a senior entomologist in the USDA's Office of Pest Management Policy. Epstein says foul brood, pesticides, diseases, pests, inbreeding, migration, weather, and other factors are all causing the declines. But the Department of Agriculture has started to spend more money on research.
We're working with breeders to produce better bees that are more resistant to varroa mites, may be resistant to other factors affecting their health, and to large collaborative multi-state on-the-ground projects like the Bee Informed Partnership.
Phil Crandall calls himself a sideliner. The Coal Valley beekeeper has 70 to 80 beehives in and around the Quad Cities, including Nahant Marsh, where he also teaches a class in the winter. He says public interest is higher than in the past.
I think the fact that most beekeepers were getting up in age, that's reversing some. We're seeing a lot of younger interest. I've even, for the first time in probably 5 years, have an apprentice that's actually working with me, and he's very interested, and that helps me with some of my work. But there is a great deal of interest. My classes seem to be going very well, even for people that aren't necessarily interested in keeping bees, they just want to learn about them.
Dave Irvin, president of the East Central Iowa Beekeepers Association, agrees. Membership in his group has been increasing.
I just got a letter the other day from the Department of Agriculture saying there's more beekeepers now than there was 2 years ago. I wish I could remember the number. I think it was 127,000 beekeepers in the state, and it's up 15 or 20%. There are a lot of people that are just for some reason or another interested in keeping bees. And there are a lot of people that are interested in saving the bees. They don't want to keep them at their house, or they don't want to manage them, but they might let you have one at their house if you manage it.
Irvin and Crandall also agree pesticides called neonics are a big threat to pollinators.
We should be encouraging our it's not only farmers, but everybody to just not be using any more of those chemicals, and we absolutely have to. Because that's at least 60% of colony collapse is the pesticides they're getting. Somebody told me, and I think they're right, there's 100 different kinds of pesticides in a beehive if you take one apart and test it. It surprised me when I heard that.
I've even seen in Illinois, I've seen the state crews going by, and they're spraying the ditches. So, you know, even though there's a ditch there, they're still spraying it. So that's causing issues. And when I say varroa mite is the one thing that the beekeeper can actually have an impact on, you know, there are a lot of things that are going to require government involvement. Pesticides, loss of habitat, that's not anything that the beekeeper can do anything about.
Many people have strong feelings about how to save pollinators, but Epstein, the entomologist from the USDA, says patience is necessary.
And in Europe, they still have not done any follow-up to their ban on neonics to say how that has affected bee health. I believe they are promising that they're going to come out with some sort of evaluation on that in December of this year. But, I mean, it's been a couple of years since they've done that, and everybody assumes that that's had remarkable turnaround, but we haven't seen anything that would say that.
While waiting on results of new research and policy decisions, beekeepers can make sure their hives are as healthy and strong as possible. Then they'll have a better chance of surviving despite the presence of pesticides, bad weather, and other factors beekeepers can't control. I'm Michelle O'Neill.